Want to try a free sample of berry pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine? Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitivity.
Always
Stop it.
They don't know your body, only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome in. Fantasy Sports Today here on a Friday as we close out the month of July with a lot of news. Craig Mish and Davis Maddock, 2 hours every day, noon to 2 Eastern, no different today as we cover it all for you. The Major League Baseball trade deadline, the NBA draft, trades during the NBA draft as well. And, of course, we're in the thick of training camp in the NFL as well. And, Davis, I think the last 24 hours were as exciting as I can recall with everything happening. But baseball is definitely taking the lead today. Massive trades going down in baseball even before the trade deadline. We've had activity now going on 5 days straight, and it all ends today at 4 o'clock Eastern.
It all ends today. It's hard to imagine anything larger happening than the Max Scherzer, Trey Turner trade to the Dodgers, but that doesn't mean that it's all done. And I think that we were talking about this yesterday, the fact that so many of these races are close in the National League, but not close in the American League, created loads of sellers in the American League, right? We saw Kyle Schwarber get traded. We saw the Nationals being out of it because really the National League, it comes down to the Mets or maybe the Phillies, the Brewers clearly running away with their division, and then that three-team pileup in the NL West. I mean, we just have created a really fertile ground for trading this year, and it's exciting, and I hope we get at least one more blockbuster.
Yeah, well, Chris Bryant, I think that will probably be one that happens today. Craig Kimbrell, it seems like the Cubs are done. If the Nationals have anybody left, I think that they would trade them. So, I mean, outside of Juan Soto, that cupboard looks bare for sure. Here are our headlines here as we begin the show, as we close out the week here on Friday. The Dodgers set to acquire Max Scherzer and Trey Turner from the Washington Nationals. Turner will play second. Seager, when he comes back this weekend, will play short. Scherzer will back up Clayton Kershaw and Walker Buehler and maybe even make the first start in the postseason. Who knows? But Scherzer going from Washington to L.A. The Yankees acquired Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs, one of their World Series heroes, to go with Joey Gallo. They still don't have any pitching, but my gosh, that lineup you would think would score some runs here in the last 2 months. Rizzo will make his debut in Miami tonight along with Gallo, and I'll be there. The Red Sox acquire Kyle Schwarber late last night from the Washington Nationals. Schwarber due back in 2 weeks. He will add some punch to Boston's lineup. And then while all this was going on, we had the NBA draft, and the Lakers have a new big three. It's Russell Westbrook headed to L.A. to go with LeBron and Anthony Davis, and we'll get into that as well. Cade Cunningham, as expected, the first pick in the 2021 NBA draft. I feel like that was the smallest story that happened in sports yesterday, but we will break down the draft coming up as well. Davis, let's take a closer look at the Nationals trade with the Los Angeles Dodgers, because I think that that is, without a doubt, one of the bigger trade that's happened, probably even at any deadline that I can recall. Scherzer and Turner will go to Los Angeles. The Nationals get their catcher of the future in Keibert Ruiz, a pitcher of the future in Josiah Gray, and I'm not really familiar with Castillo or Casey. Those are the other two names that they got in the deal. But Davis, here is the key. Max Scherzer, when he signed that long-term extension with Washington, they deferred a lot of money. They did not pay him that up front. LA is going to pay for it all. And what message does this send to the rest of the league? Either spend or we're taking you down. How could you not bet the Dodgers to win it all at this point? You'd be crazy not to.
Yeah, because the Dodgers don't care. The Dodgers have access to capital. I guess maybe the Yankees are close to them in terms of the money they bring in, but the Los Angeles Dodgers ownership, I mean, it just doesn't matter to them. Spending $1 billion on a team, $1.5 billion, like, what does it matter? The amount of capital that the Dodgers have to plug in is it's unbelievable. I mean, they could cut someone if they're not any good. Like, it just, they can spend the money and it truly does not matter to them. And it's big for the Nationals to get off of all of that money. And look, are Max Scherzer and Trey Turner fantastic players? Of course they are. But Keibert Ruiz, I mean, a switch hitting catcher who looks pretty good. I mean, every time we've seen him in the minor leagues, every time he's come up, he's looked pretty decent. Josiah Gray, a pretty high end starting pitching prospect. Are these guys going to replace Trey Turner and Max Scherzer? Of course not. But this is about as good as the Nationals could have done in trading Scherzer. And Turner was the price to get it done. You know, including Turner in this trade was the price. And I guess this is the end of Gavin Lux. Like, is Gavin Lux going to play the rest of his career as like the Detroit Tigers shortstop? Like, what's going to happen to my guy Gavin Lux? I guess it's pretty much done for him. I mean, maybe he can play third base and spell Trey Turner, but it feels like the end of the road for former very high prospect Gavin Lux.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I just don't know where this guy is going to play. But the good news for the Dodgers and the bad news for Lux, Davis, is that they could just say to Gavin Lux, you know what, here's a seat, come off the bench. And I think they'll do right by him in the offseason and they'll move him. But I don't see any path playing time for him for sure. So we got plenty to get to with the baseball trade deadline. And of course, if anything happens here on the show, we will give it to you. We're less than 4 hours away from that being complete. Last night, the NBA draft was completed, and a little bit chalky, I would say, in the early part of the draft. But there were some surprises. We'll get into that as well. And, of course, the big surprise and the bigger story in the NBA, no doubt, is Russell Westbrook going to the Lakers and what that will mean for their odds and for them winning the championship in 2022. So let's take a quick break here on the show. When we come back, we will hear from the general manager of the Detroit Pistons on their pick. We'll also hear from one of the players drafted last night, and we'll go through pick by pick from the first 15 or so selections here on Fantasy Sports Today. Also, Jim Sanis joins us a little bit later in the show. Pat Corain talking some fantasy football. So we got it all covered for you here on Sports Grid. Make sure you stick with us for the entire show. Our first break is here. Let's take it. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Don't go away.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The 2021 NBA Draft is in the books. Davis, before we get to the picks, and I want to go through them all and get your opinion, overall, what did you think was a bigger story last night? Was it Westbrook getting traded or the NBA Draft? I mean, it was an easy Westbrook one for me. I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering that none of the pick trades were that massive. Like, Cade Cunningham didn't get traded. The Cavs didn't trade out of number three. You know, most of the trades were relatively small. We already had the big trade between the Grizzlies and the Pelicans where they ended up taking Zaire Williams at number 10. So I feel like you would have to be honest and say the biggest thing that happened was the Russell Westbrook trade to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I think so. We'll get into that in Fantasy or Reality as well. But for now, let's take a look at the top seven picks in the 2021 NBA Draft. Cade Cunningham went to Detroit as expected. Jalen Green went to Houston, more or less as expected. Same with Evan Mobley. Scottie Barnes went fourth to Toronto. Again, I've talked about him a ton. He went to my kid's school. Jalen Suggs went to Orlando. Davis talked about him winning Rookie of the Year, perhaps. We'll dive into that as well. Josh Giddey was taken by Oklahoma City, and Jonathan Kuminga was taken by the Golden State Warriors. No Ben Simmons trade. Some people thought that's where Philadelphia was going to jump in on that pick there and take their own player. That did not happen. But overall, Cade Cunningham goes number one. It's not a surprise, but their general manager, Troy Weaver, talked about what he will bring to Detroit.
Great night for the Pistons. Yes, I mean, we're thrilled that we landed on Cade and excited about him joining the Piston family. We vetted this process out. He was always one of the top guys we looked at. But the versatility he brings, the leadership, connectability, which really separated him. You look at our team, he's a human connector on the floor, off the floor. Along with his, you know, advanced skill set and winning basketball that he plays and has always played, landing on him was tremendous honor for us to be able to bring in such a young, accomplished player. So we're excited and look forward to him getting here and get started.
All right, well, Davis, high praise as you would expect from Troy Weaver with Cade Cunningham. I feel like we've talked about him a lot, and I think everybody understands where he is at. Before we get to the next set of picks, let's go back to the first set of picks, 1 through 7. Give me your best pick here in the top seven here. Anything unexpected? I think some people were surprised Scottie Barnes went fourth overall.
Yeah, you are correct. Yeah, pretty much every mock draft had Jalen Suggs going at four to Toronto, so I feel like Orlando is the natural winner there. I mean, Suggs looks like a guy who's going to come in and be ready to be, you know, a 28-minute-a-night guard in the NBA. The Orlando Magic have been, you know, trying to figure out the point guard position for about as long as I can remember. I mean, they have tried Elfrid Payton and Victor Oladipo, and they traded for I can't even remember the guy's name now, Markelle Fultz from the 76ers. I mean, they really have tried to do just about everything. I mean, DJ Augustin playing at point guard, Michael Carter Williams, and I think Jalen Suggs gives them some more certainty there, so I really like that. I was shocked that Oklahoma City did not take Jonathan Kuminga. Would have lost that bet to see them not get Kuminga. He was the most Oklahoma City style player ever, you know, all upside, all tools. Though I guess Giddy, not a great shooter, doesn't get to the line, but is, you know, very athletic, and you can kind of project onto Josh Giddy. So I guess he fits the mold as well. But I mean, I think that was a big pick for Golden State. I think them getting someone with that upside, I think, is pretty large for them.
All right, maybe rookie of the year in the NBA next year. Let's take a look at picks 8 through 14, the lottery selections. Franz Wagner goes to Orlando. Davion Mitchell to the Sacramento Kings. Through trade, Memphis gets Ziaire Williams. James Bouknight goes in the 11th pick to Charlotte. Josh Primo goes to San Antonio. I feel like that was a little bit of a surprise, a little early for him. Chris Duarte, who we talked about yesterday, goes to Indiana. Moses Moody fell a little bit to Golden State. One of the perhaps more talented players going into this thing was Davion Mitchell, who now is going to pair up with De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento. Maybe this is the start of something good for the Kings. I feel like we've done this for 40 years, but maybe this is actually it. Davion Mitchell talked about going to California and being paired with Fox.
Yeah, man, just talking to my head coach, Scott Drew, coach at Baylor, he was just telling me he met with them. Had really good conversations. I had really good conversations with them. I don't know if my name is called. I mean, but I think playing with them, a really young backcourt, me and De'Aaron Fox are really fast guards, getting out running, making plays for one another. We both can make plays. We both play defense. And Tyrese Halliburton is a really good guard who can pass the ball, who loves to get out and run. And I played against him for 2 years. For 1 year. And then so just seeing him, I know it's going to be a really good group.
Well, we'll see which way the Kings go. In general, we kind of know, Davis, it's been a long time on them. What did you make of the second grouping of picks in the lottery last night?
Well, Davion Mitchell to Sacramento, we felt pretty strongly they were going to take a guard, but no one, and I seriously, no one. I mean, Davion Mitchell was not a favorite to go in the top 10, was not favored to go to Sacramento. Most people thought he'd kind of slot in where Chris Duarte went. So that is, you know, James Bouknight was the guy, actually, who a lot of people thought was going to go at number 9 to the Kings. Don't have a strong opinion. I, you know, don't think anyone made horrible or good picks here. Duarte is the guy I am most fascinated by. Actually, I was just thinking while we were listening to that soundbite, like, okay, I'm probably going to buy an NBA box, Panini, when this rookie class comes out. In their, you know, in their actual NBA uniforms, I guess it'll probably be about 4 or 5 months from now. And Duarte would be the one that I think I would be interested in grabbing Duarte rookie cards when that happens. So I guess that my thought would be the Pacers made a good pick here. They were another team that was trying to figure it out at point guard last year. You know, playing Malcolm Brogdon there and things like that. So I think that was good. And then The Moody pick was a little odd for me, I suppose, because I don't get exactly how he fits in with this current version of the Golden State team. But again, as you and I talked about yesterday, we said what a team's mess up doing. They mess up trying to take the fit instead of trying to take the best player available. And some people thought Moody was going to go in the top 10, so the Warriors just scooped up a little bit of value there.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see because Mitchell – as you said, like, I mean, we did some over-unders on him, and I mean, it was top 20, I thought, on him. So that was a big jump into the top 20, no doubt about that. Also, good to see Davis re-engaged in sports cards based on the NBA draft. Okay, if that's the way it is. Interestingly enough, I think I talked about it with this studio a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's embarrassing how many cards I have out for grading. I'm constantly getting them back. For whatever reason, I think I mentioned this to you, because of the design of the card, I never got into Russell Westbrook. And Westbrook is the card that's popping right now. I don't have any of him. I don't know why. I never bought any.
Well, I mean, I guess you're kicking yourself right now, because I guarantee if I go log on Starstock right now, the cards that are going to be flying off the shelves are going to be the Russell Westbrook rookie. No one cares about the Kyle Kuzma rookies. It's all going to be about, I mean, that Lakers shine, man. It is huge in absolutely everything.
Yeah, it is. We'll see. Another big three in the NBA. Maybe Lakers Nets final. That's what we'll be wishing on. But, you know, listen, this past year, what did we get? We got Atlanta going far. We got Phoenix going far. Milwaukee. Nobody really had any of that. So we'll see. NBA has a real full season next year with days off and full games and none of these crazy back to backs. So we'll see. Okay, we'll take a quick break here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
We've got baseball to preview tonight, fantasy football to discuss. We're still drafting here in the Raz Bowl, and in this slow draft that went so fast the first few days is now crawling. I don't know how we're going to get through this next week. We'll be right back with more Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Your heart's racing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic is reporting that Jose Berríos is on the move. He's speculating the Blue Jays. Now, remember, we heard about Scherzer to San Diego yesterday. That flipped to L.A., but we'll see. But looks like Jose Berríos of the Twins, Davis, could be on the move. And, boy, that would be interesting if he ended up in Toronto. No doubt about that. They're still just 4.5 games out. I know you're rooting for that. We'll see if it happens. Updates throughout the show constantly if I hear anything. Texts are coming on my phone, constantly updating. Maybe we'll have another live. I don't think we'll have another trade live on the show here with me, but it's possible. We won't rule it out. We'll get back to that. Let's start with the afternoon game. The evening games. Again, you're a little batty betting on baseball, not knowing who's in or out on some of these teams, potentially with trades and guys moving. I mean, you're going to be left basically with, on some rosters, there's a 26-man roster. Some teams will be operating with 22 guys today. Like, it's going to be like that. So be very careful today. Tampa Bay, Boston, let's start there. The Rays are minus 142 on the money line. They moved Diego Castillo, their closer, right, Davis? Like, they don't care. So it's like, oh, yeah, let's trade the most important guy in the ninth. Okay, fine, we'll send him to Seattle. Nick Anderson is coming back for them. They don't even have a starting pitcher today, Davis, and they're still favored. They're minus 142. Josh Fleming will start against Martin Perez, who has not been very good. Total is 9. What do you make of today's game? This is very hard to do, not knowing who's getting traded or not and who's in and who's out. I mean, Tampa Bay could trade 5 guys today.
They could, though you would imagine that, you know, basically the meat of their lineup is not gonna change all that much. You know, Brandon Lau, G-Man Choi, Yanni Diaz, Austin Meadows, Randy Rosarena, Wander Franco, all those guys are going to be in their lineup. I guess the one difference could be, is there someone that Boston could trade for? Well, you and I, who are doing this show, who could show up and play for them tonight? Like, my guess would probably be that would not happen. But, I mean, again, stranger things have happened. All sorts of things that I was not expecting to have happen have happened. I definitely did not think that Trey Turner would be in a Dodgers uniform when we started this week. I guess you could say, actually, if you wanted to be pessimistic, you could say that the Red Sox might engage in a trade for a hitter that might leave them without Alex Verdugo, Franchi Cordero, someone like that tonight, that they have to do it, you know, in order, you know, give a veteran or give a younger guy in order to make one of those things happen. So I actually feel pretty strong here in the Tampa Bay Rays. I when Martin Perez starts, I think that's your time to take the wins away from the Boston Red Sox. They can win with Garrett Richards. They can win with all these other dudes throwing junk, but Martin Perez has been really bad, and I think the Rays will take care of him tonight. Also, the Red Sox definitely are going to be they lose an advantage when they leave Fenway because their team is so perfectly constructed for that run environment.
All right, let's move on to the Mets and Reds tonight, and look who's pitching for the Mets, Davis. It only took 5 months, but Carlos Carrasco is back Friday night, makes his debut in 2021. I guess we shouldn't poke fun at that. We'll probably be talking about Verlander soon and Noah Syndergaard soon. Those guys are going to come back probably for the Sonny Gray starts for Cincinnati. The total is 8.5. You know, Lindor is out for the Mets. Davis, I cannot believe that the Mets haven't done anything to this point. It is really surprising to me with this owner that they have and all this money they threw around at Lindor and McCann. Those deals look horrible right now. But with the Yankees making moves and the Dodgers making moves, like, this is the Mets. Like, they're winning the division. I'm sure they're going to get Chris Bryant and shut me up, slap me around, and then Monday we'll have a different conversation. But I feel like the Phillies are in a good position to just snatch this deadline away and win this division. But Mets are minus 130 today. Carrasco, what do you think? Five innings, five and dive? I can't see more than that.
I mean, did he even make a rehab start? Like, I don't remember hearing anything about him making a rehab start. Okay, yeah. So he made one. Five innings, though, against this Reds lineup, I feel like five innings is kind of generous. I mean, the Reds have been one of the best hitting teams in baseball. I know they're dealing with like a couple injuries right now, but you know, you're going up against Joey Votto, home run six games in a row, Tyler Naquin, Jonathan India, Jesse Winker. They've been really good on offense. But the point I want to make here is I'm so with you. Wasn't this supposed to be the brand new Mets? Like, we're not going to let the Yankees add guys at the deadline and not us. You know, we're going to be the best team in New York. We're going to spend money. We gave Francisco Lindor the contract. Like, what are you doing? You're in the worst division in baseball, and you have a not good Phillies team breathing down your neck. You're not going to add anyone. You're going to play Luis Guillerme at third base. You know, what are the Mets doing? This feels like a huge tactical error for them. Like, Kyle Schwarber would have been a great addition for them. They need help at all of their positions on offense because their guys keep getting banged up. It seems like no matter what they do, one of their important players is always on the IL. So I'm taking the Reds, but I more am just like, come on, guys. Like, you, Steve Cohen, you're supposed to be the new Mets. It's supposed to be a different brand of baseball being played, and it's not. Like, this is the same penny-pinching Mets that we've always known.
Yeah, I think my point on this is that, Davis, they've gotten to this point with all of that being said. Like, stamp it home. Win the division. Like, you got a real chance to do it. You have Dave Dombrowski as the general manager and president of the Philadelphia Phillies. Trust me, before 4 o'clock Eastern, the Phillies are going to make a massive move. Something big is coming from him. And by the way, I think the Braves may even jump back in. They've got to be looking at the Mets like, look, if you're not going to do anything, I'm not going to do. I mean, the Nationals have just basically punted everything. The Marlins have punted everything. And so you're going to have those individual games against them to win. I don't get it either. I'm with you. I'm taking the Reds today for sure. Houston, San Francisco. This is a potential World Series preview. I don't think anybody would predict it, but it's possible. Houston plus 100. San Francisco minus 118. They have their best pitcher on the mound in Kevin Gausman, but Framber Valdez is good as well, Davis, and the Astros are just a really good team. They've upgraded their bullpen over the last few days. They really don't even need to do anything on offense, and so this is sort of, this line is more of an indictment on, yeah, we think Houston's better here. Now, they do lose Yordan Alvarez, I believe, in this series, so that's a key loss for them because I think he only plays DH. What do you think tonight?
I mean, I cannot get myself to buy in to the San Francisco Giants, and I know they're amazing. I know that they are hitting all these home runs. I know that they are currently leading the most competitive division in baseball. Like, I know all of these things, but I still feel like a team that is giving all of these plate appearances to these random guys, right? You know, Wilmer Flores hitting cleanup. Buster Posey is dealing with injury. I mean, the Giants are second in baseball in home runs. Definitely, you could have made a lot of money on that. Who is second in home runs in or who's top? Are the Giants top five in baseball in home runs at the All-Star break? I bet you could have got like 10-1 on that. And they're playing, you know, Donovan Solano is batting fifth. They're giving Tiaro Estrada plate appearances. Kurt Casale's having to sub in because Buster Posey is banged up. Jason Vosler, who literally I could not pick this guy out walking down the street. Don't know what he looks like. You know, they're getting a great season from Gausman. But this to me seems like a huge spot to take the Astros. Now, I know that they lose the DH. That's a big deal for them. The Astros get great production out of their DH. It's not like some of the other American League teams where the DH, you know, sometimes bats seventh or eighth for them. It's very big for them to be able to get Jordan Alvarez in there. But Framber is okay enough. Gausman has always had troubles against American League teams. That was his big deal when he was pitching in the AL East. So I think the Astros are the right side tonight.
Yeah. By the way, it is the Jays with Jose Berríos, according to Ken Rosenthal. So, yeah, Davis, look, they're only 4.5 games out. I know you're hoping for them. This is not going to make me run on to FanDuel, Davis, and bet that. It's not enough, I don't think. But this is at least a mental boost for that team. They had to have another starting pitcher here for the next 2 months. They had to have it.
They had to have another one, and for all that we could say about Jose Berríos, he never quite lived up to his prospect pedigree. You know, he just was never quite that good. He immediately becomes the second best starting pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays. Robbie Ray has been fantastic. Steven Matz has not been good. Hyunjin Ryu he's been good over his last couple starts, but has largely not been good. Ross Stripling has been awful. Alek Manoah has had a couple good starts, has had a couple really bad starts. I think Berríos immediately comes in, probably has a 4.1 ERA the rest of the way, but eats up 6 or 7 innings in most of his starts and just kind of keeps them stable. Like, there's not going to be very many Jose Berríos starts where, like Ross Stripling, he's done after getting 2 outs. Like, that's just not what you're going to get with Jose Berríos. So I feel like that was a really important trade for them. And I don't think they should be done. I think they should add another arm because Manoah, you'd imagine they'll probably have to shut Manoah down. Like, they probably don't want Manoah getting to like 120 innings. I would be surprised if they want to extend him that far, given that there was no competitive baseball played by these younger starting pitchers. So I think they should add another arm.
Yeah, I think they probably should too. And the Jays certainly are a team that can fight their way back in this thing because of their offense. Now, I personally, again, like I said on FanDuel, I'm not interested for those people who are asking, saying, well, Craig, what do you think? Is this a game changer? No. Jose Berríos is not pitching 3 times in a 7-game series and winning a World Series for the Jays. In the offseason, they may attack it. This may get them into the postseason, and they could win a wild card game. I could see that. But I don't think the Jays are built to win a World Series right now. So this is not a game changer for me. Rare that I would go completely out of order here in our rundown on the show, but I just like completely whiffed and went away from all of the trades and went right to today's game somehow. But my brain is only working at like 70% capacity here on the show. So coming up next, we will talk more trades in fantasy and reality here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips.
Want to try a free sample of Berry Pie?
Oh, yeah, I do. Wait, will this send me spiraling out of my routine?
Time to consult the online experts.
Hi, Felicia here with 1 million followers. That bite will destroy your metabolism.
Is it really that bad? I had protein this morning. Ugh, but it looks so good.
Only eat after walking 10,000 steps.
Pie is only 2 steps from here. Am I overthinking again? Oh, the kids would really love this.
Insulin sensitive.
Always
Stop it. Stop it.
They don't know your body. Only you do. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, before we get into the trade with the Dodgers and look at their deal and also the new look Yankees as well, let's recap real quick this trade with Jose Berríos, who is going to go from Minnesota to Toronto. The Blue Jays, by the way, are back tonight, Davis, in Toronto for the first time in what, almost 2 years. But that's not the big story here. The big story here is that the Blue Jays, according to, I believe it is Ken Rosenthal or Jeff Passan, I know them both, so they won't be mad, they're getting back the Blue Jays' second-best prospect in their entire system, Austin Martin, who was drafted just last year. I believe he was a top-five pick in the Major League Baseball draft. So that's a lot of people are going to say the Twins won that deal. Now, we don't know. I mean, we're going to have to let that play out. We need to see if Martin can play in the big leagues for sure. But that would seem in the prospect world to be a lot to give up for a pitcher who's going to be a free agent after next season.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to give up, but you and I have talked about this a little bit. It's all about sending the message. You got to do the right thing. And if the Blue Jays stood pat here and were not aggressive, well, the Yankees were trading for Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo, and the Dodgers are going for it. Like, all these teams are going for it. The Rays add Nelson Cruz. Like, what message are you sending to Vlad? What message are you sending to Kevon Biggio? What message are you sending to Bo Bichette? If you're like, well, guys, you know, Robbie Ray, Steven Matz, like, it'll be fine. Like, we'll figure it out. You know, we think you guys can score enough runs. Like, that is not a good situation, I think, to put your young players in to make them feel like you are you're not fully supporting them. And so I obviously it hurts to have to give up a prospect that you just took that high in the draft, but you got to get some arms. You can't be throwing out Ross Stripling every 5 days if you're wanting to tell your young team that you're going for a World Series. It just doesn't work.
All right, let's take a look here and let's go real quick to the Dodgers trade, because we actually may have a trade here during the show. Again, why do they do this to me during the show? All right. Dodgers second half rotation. Walker Buehler, Davis, is going to lead the way. I know you love Kershaw. I wonder if you think that Buehler is better than Kershaw at this point. Scherzer, number three. Julio Urias, number four. My gosh, is this rotation good? Tony Gonsolin is the five. Dustin May is out for the year. It doesn't even matter. They just called up that kid to give him a debut and then just sent him over to Washington. So let's pretend LA Davis gets to what? Like at least the NLCS? I think we could probably pretend that. What do you make of the staff? Who are you throwing in games 1, 2, 3? Are you a believer in this whole Kershaw postseason thing? I think he overcame that all last year. I think that's done. How would you set it up, your rotation? You're Dave Roberts, you're the Dodgers, you're playing the Giants maybe, or you're playing the Mets, or you're playing the Brewers, and you're setting your 7-game up for the NLCS. You got to give me 3 pitchers that are going to go in the rotation. Which way are you going to go? Let's take a look.
Well, you already know that I'm about to say, of course, I don't believe in this Clayton Kershaw postseason stuff. Like, you know, I'm all about the sample size and throwing out like weird random things. And by the way, you're right. Any monkey that he would have had on his back anyway, he got rid of. I think your top three, I mean, it should be clear. It's Walker Buehler. I actually think, because of the way baseball is, and I bet you'll agree with me on this, baseball will always be baseball. Kershaw's taken the ball first in the NLCS. It's just he's the veteran. He's the longest tenured. He's been with, you know, he's been on the Dodgers his whole career, et cetera, et cetera. He's going game one. Scherzer's going game two. Buehler's going day three. However, if they were to do what a lot of very smart teams do in the postseason and they were going to throw a guy on short rest to have their absolute best arm in, it would be Scherzer going in on the short rest in like a must win game 5 or something and not Kershaw. I think that is the way that they would set it up. And also, because they have so many guys who are so good, they could do a piggyback thing where maybe Scherzer goes 3 innings on short rest and then Urias comes in and goes 3 innings and then they turn it over to the bullpen. I think that's something that they could definitely line up. I mean, just imagine being the team facing these guys in the playoffs. I do not envy any team going against the Dodgers in the postseason at all.
All right, let's move over to the middle infield and take a look at how the Dodgers may end up doing this, Davis. I don't know what the right answer is. Corey Seager was the World Series MVP. Now, I know in between it's been checkered times, Davis, to say the least. We all thought, by the way, I'm sure you did too, Corey Seager was going to be, what did you think, top 3 pick in fantasy every year for 10 years? It looked like that was going to be it, but injuries derailed him. Now he's coming back. They're handing him back over short. That makes sense. He's the incumbent World Series team. You got to send that message in the clubhouse. You have to do it. You have to put Seager at short. Turner will play short, Davis, for the Dodgers next year. He's going to be their shortstop. But for this year, they're going to move Turner to second, Seager to short, Muncy at first, Turner at third. Yikes, man. How are you beating that team? That's a great team.
No, and you're right. I mean, I was a huge Corey Seager guy. Actually, when I first started getting into cards during all of this, Corey Seager was the first guy I looked up. Like, okay, I got to get some Corey Seager Bowman Chrome autograph cards. And you're right. Has not really worked out for him this year. Only 169 plate appearances. His ISO's at 150 after 278 last year. Like we just have not seen a ton of him. I feel like the best way to utilize these guys is to have Trey Turner playing more. Like you would again know this better, but like I would assume that he is capable of playing some other middle infield spots, playing third base, playing second base, and also you want to talk about pinch hitter, pinch runner. I mean, is there going to be a better pinch hitter, pinch runner in all of baseball in the playoffs than Trey Turner for games he doesn't start? Like, because you could even argue that because he is so good off the bench, he could be a defensive replacement, obviously a very fast runner if you need a steal in the ninth inning. You could argue that starting Justin Turner at third base over him would be better, and that Turner is a great defensive replacement pinch runner style guy.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, Turner, to me, is somebody the Dodgers, Davis, are probably just going to look at him and say, you know what? Fits our brand. Play shortstop. Let's let Seager go. $200 million, right, for Trey Turner. They're not letting him go, right? No way. He's going right to shortstop. Seager, I think they'll let go. I think he's going to end up going somewhere else. All right, so Yankees. Let's get to the Yankees here. I'm going to see them tonight, and they're going to have, let's see, Anthony Rizzo, Joey Gallo, Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, who am I missing? Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez. Like, this is just, like, this is an insanely good on paper lineup. But I guess the question is, Davis, what are they doing? Do you have a clue? Because These are two guys who are nice players, but can they win with no pitching? Like, they have one pitcher. Like, I know you like Gallo a lot, but I would have taken Rizzo and Gallo and scratched my head a little more, did a dance, and said, well, let's get Barrios. Like, that to me made more sense, but they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to score a lot of runs, and it's going to help in fantasy. I think Rizzo now in American League only leagues is going to be the number one pickup because he's switching leagues. You get your first crack at that guy. So if you saved your money, congrats. You got Rizzo. He's going to hit a bunch of home runs in New York. But what do you think of what New York is doing? They can't be done, can they?
No, I mean, they got to add an arm, and I don't know what arm they will be adding, but you're right. I mean, they actually very similar to the Blue Jays. Their leak has been with starting pitching. Garrett Cole, they can't even count on him to go out there once every 5 days and give them a win because he's still, like, he got absolutely crushed the other day by the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, I get what they're doing, right? Joey Gallo and Anthony Rizzo are perfect fits for the team, right? They don't have competition at the positions they play, whether they DH them, whether they play Rizzo at first, whether they play Joey Gallo at third, or if they play him in left field. There is no competition for their at-bats. They're both left-handed power bats. That fits perfectly with their ballpark. I think that's smart. That's just clear evidence of the analytics team being in communication with the rest of the front office. Like, I like these additions. I think these are really good additions. What you would say is, this would have been really good additions to make about 4 months ago. Why in February, if you knew the Cubs were going to do this and you knew the Rangers were going to do this and you knew that you were one tweaked hamstring away from Brett Gardner getting 400 plate appearances from your team, why would you not have made these calls earlier? And maybe the Rangers didn't want to trade Joey Gallo 4 months ago. It seems weird, though. Like, I feel like the Cubs would have been pretty down to trade Anthony Rizzo. It's not like they were under any illusion that this season was going to go well for them. Seems weird, Joey. I mean, we were hearing rumors about Joey Gallo 2 months ago. Remember, it was rumored that he was going to get traded to the Padres. So I feel like maybe it's a little bit too late for the Yankees. But their offense is going to be phenomenal for the rest of the season. Like, it's kind of interesting. They have their lineup set where they got four dudes who are going to strike out about 30% of the time and then five dudes who are never going to strike out. The balance is very odd there.
Yeah, and I think that I understand that they're just basically, you know, they're so far out for the division, but they still think they have a chance at the wild card. But then I think that you have to ask yourself this: the construction of their team, even with these two players, if they got to a scenario where they got in a five-game series, Davis, or seven, they're not. I don't think the Yankees are beating the Red Sox. I don't think they're beating the Rays. I don't think they're beating the White Sox. But this is kind of, Davis, how some teams should operate. I know that you've been critical of the Cubs. Like, this is how big market teams should operate. The Cardinals, by the way, should probably operate like this too. Like, even though they don't really see an opening for the postseason, you have the most fans coming to the games. You're making a lot of money as an owner. We know that. All the baseball owners are making money. What are you doing? Like try, especially if you're 500 or close. So to me, the Yankees are doing the right thing. We're waiting on the Mets. We're waiting on the Cardinals. They're probably not going to do anything. But I would like to see more teams at least try in the second half as opposed to punting. Like, look what Washington just did, Davis. Have you seen a dismantling of a team like this on a deadline? It's been a long time for me.
The Nationals are not even that far removed from winning the frickin' World Series. It's not like this is some team that was like devoid of talent, and they were even being aggressive in the free agency market, right? Adding Schwarber, doing some things like that. Like, it's not like this was a team that came into the season feeling hopeless, and they are doing the opposite, right? They are doing the opposite of what the Yankees are doing. The Yankees see a small glimmer, just the smallest little glimmer of being able to bomb their way into the playoffs. And you're right. You are exactly right. The Yankees know that it's not acceptable to their fan base to do nothing. It's not acceptable to stand pat, not trade for anyone, or even make small moves, right? Like a move for like Cesar Hernandez, like the White Sox did. That's not enough for the Yankees fans. The Yankees fans are rabid. They're foaming at the mouth to add more power. They're so sick of watching Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton not be able to hit the ball. They're so sick of watching, you know, Esteban Florial and Brett Gardner playing in center field. Like, they cannot organizationally get away with that stuff anymore. So you're right. They did the right thing, and I wish more teams would take this approach where they would just gun for it if the hope was alive at all.
For sure. All right, so let's do this. We're going to take a quick timeout early, guys, here, because I'm going to have to make a call. I think we may have some deals going on. So we'll break here about 30 seconds early. We'll come back, and then what we'll do is we will wrap up this first hour of the show. If anything is happening, of course, I will let you guys know right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. So stay with us. Stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes, and I'll have the latest. Davis, you can take it to break, or I got to take it to break. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back from break here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. We have Craig Mish on his Adam Schefter level of reporting right now. We'll have some news from the Major League Baseball trade deadline for you guys when we come back from break. I will break a little bit of news here on the show as well. It was just reported out of Indianapolis Colts camp that Carson Wentz is dealing with a foot injury, and he is out indefinitely. If I think about injuries that I want my younger mobile quarterback to have, foot injuries are basically going to be the last one. I think I would honestly even rather have my quarterback be in a Dak Prescott style situation where his shoulder is banged up and he's not able to go through all of his reps. The Indianapolis Colts clearly are leveraging a lot on this Carson Wentz trade. They traded a second round pick in order to acquire him on the team. Phillip Rivers retired. They let Jacoby Brissett leave in free agency to Craig Mish's Miami Dolphins. I believe the Dolphins actually paid Brissett a little bit of money. But the Colts, as a returning 11-win team that thought that they could maybe win this division, have to feel like they're in a pretty tricky spot right now. Their backup quarterback currently on the roster right now is Jacob Eason. Eason was a fifth-round pick out of Washington. Definitely not the type of guy you want to turn your franchise over to. It was reported that he took all of the first-team snaps in practice today for the Colts. And this kind of got me wondering since, you know, we're talking about the NBA trade deadline. We're talking about the baseball trade deadline with Craig on his 18 cell phones looking like that famous picture of Joe Dumars for the Detroit Pistons. Do we have a little bit of Jimmy G action here, right? Jimmy Garoppolo definitely not going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers that long. Would a second round pick, another second round pick for the Indianapolis Colts, be enough to get the deal done? Now, obviously, that would mean starting Trey Lance a little bit earlier than the team planned on, but definitely one of those things that I could see happening as we move a little bit closer to the season if the 49ers feel good about Trey Lance. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick. Soon you will be joined by Chris Kofsky with his noon update. Stay tuned to for Craig and I on the other side of Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV.
Hey,
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.